nauza fundraiser kusabia na mgonjwa Azim, the legal team to lead us on the bill. Thanks, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to all the members and everyone in the House. Unfortunately, we haven't set up for the PowerPoint presentation, but I did circulate the copies of the presentation. My colleagues, maybe in the meantime, she's going to assist me just put it up from her computer, but I'll continue so long from the papers that have been distributed. Basically, my presentation is prepared having looked at the submissions that the committee received as well as the response that the department submitted to those public hearings and submissions. As a way of introduction, basically, I thought it would be best to explain, I think, the main contention and confusion is coming from is the fact that the bill as well as the act, the principal act does not have the purpose clause or the purpose section which explains what exactly the legislation intended to do. But from the interpretation guidelines and the interpretation pointers, we can look at the long title as well as the preamble and then the content of the whole act to understand what exactly was intended. But in this specific one, since it was enacted in terms of the old order, which was not the constitutional order, and now we are following the constitutional order, there's been quite a lot of changes. And for instance, as I said, my presentation started looking at the long title of the Act. And if we look at the long title of the Act in terms of the principal Act, the Performing Animal Protection Act, number 24, 1935. It says, the intention of the purpose was to regulate the exhibition and training of performing animals and the use of dogs for safeguarding. And from that, we can understand that there were two main purposes that this bill intended to deal with. The first one is the exhibition and training of performing animals, and that speaks to all the animals, because if we look at Section 10 of the same Act, it basically tells us that this Act, the Performing Animals Protection Act, as well as the Animal Protection Act, they must be read together. We cannot separate them. And the definition for animal comes from the Animal Protection Act, which for purposes of this bill, we are not per se amending it, but it also helps us to understand what exactly is going on and what we are dealing with. So for the first intention, which is to deal with the exhibition and training of all the animals that are performing. And then the second part is looked at saying it wants to regulate the use of dogs for safeguarding. Now, as I have explained, that from the long title, this is what we can ascertain, as to say that it intended to address two things. And the Constitutional Court has declared two provisions, which basically what the provision is to how to issue license and who issues licenses. And in this instance, that is what the bill seeks to address. The process or the procedure as to who and how should the licenses for these two purposes, that is the performing animals as well as the dogs that are used for safeguarding, should be protected and what form of a license should be done. Now, if you look further to that for purposes of our discussion today, that touches on two things. And the main thing is, first of all, the tagging of the bill. And if we look at licensing dogs, as I indicated in our briefing session, licensing of dogs is a functional area that is listed under Section 5 of the Constitution. And if you look at that and look at the second intention that I've indicated, the use of dogs for safeguarding, now we are seeking to regulate the licensing of that process. And if we had a functional area listed under Schedule 5, automatically if we list Section 76 of the Constitution for taking purposes, it tells us that a matter that appears under Schedule 5, and if it's Part B of Schedule 5, it becomes the competency of the local government. And licensing of dogs is a competency for local government, if we look at how the schedule is cutted. Now, and that brings us to the issue that we sought to discuss and get clarity on when we started with the briefing, and that was whether the bill becomes a Section 76 or a Section 75. Now, dealing with just that second purpose of the use of dogs and the for safeguarding and the taking purposes, I want to suggest that continuing with the proposal that the current bill has for the long title, which says it is to provide for a procedure for the application for a license to exhibit, train, or use of an animal for safeguarding. That is what the bill, that is what the bill currently provides. And in my explanation, I've got to take a number of slides trying to explain this as well as what is happening around these two, what the bill provides and what the principal acts provided. And the intention for going all that to explain in my slide was basically to make the point clear to the community that I think it is crucial that, because the long title and what the bill proposes to be doing in respect of what is the whole intention of this amendment bill, is basically that the committee considers looking at a purpose clause, which is going to be easier and simple to spell out and express clearly that the purpose of the amendment bill, which once it's enacted together with the principal act, is going to be then clear that this amendment bill, which will form part of the principal act, it will explain what exactly it's meant to do, and when the bill together with the principal act come together, it will then be clear to read the initial standing long title as well as the purpose that will identify what this is happening and what Parliament intended to do for these purposes. So having a purpose clause might actually assist us deal with all the issues that are identified that comes out of the proposed long title, the long title that is on the bill, as well as the long title that exists in the principal act. Because as I indicated in my slides, there is a lot of confusion that is created if you look at all three, the one that is in the principal act, the one that is in the bill, as well as the one that has been now proposed by the department. And that is where most of the confusion, and if we follow the public hearings and the submission, that is where most of the confusion and the contention arise from the long title. And the proposal is that we look at whether we can draft the purpose clause which explains the purpose of this specific amendment bill. And then the second issue that was raised from the question of the members, was the issue that if we look at what now is in Section 9 of the Principal Act, which deals with the exclusions, there, if we read the exclusion, the exclusion clarifies that the military and the police force animals which are used for whatever purpose, be it for safeguarding or for protection or for shows, as the section 9 indicates, those are excluded from the application of the act, which basically means for police animals or military animals or animals that are used for prison services, they need not apply for these licenses. They need not follow this procedure in order for those state organs to use their animals. And the question was then, what happens, for instance, since other provincial police departments are using horses? And if we look at the Section 9 exclusions, they should be covered under those exclusions as the other animals that are used. And so if we do not do anything to the Section 9 exclusions, that remains intact, and that covers most of the issues that we're clearing as to what happens and how are the other animals protected or what is the procedure to license them, especially those that are used by the police services. So Section 9 seems to cover that concern. And if we follow the suggestion that I'm saying on the long title or either on the purpose clause, so that we are clear what exactly are we doing. Are we dealing with issuing licenses for purposing animals, which would be any animal? That would be your wild animals, that would be your elephants, anything, as long as that animal is used for purposes of amusement and for performing, then that once it becomes legislation, this amendment will address that issue. And then on the other side, the other issue of animals that are used for protection purposes or for safeguarding purposes, the term that is used in the act. And the safeguarding, the use of safeguarding under, I think it's Section 11 of the Principal Act, it provides the definitions which were related to that act. And if I may just take you through, for instance, that act defines exhibit, it defines trade, it defines use of safeguarding. And exhibit is defined to mean, it means to expose for show at any entertainment to which the public are admitted, whether for payment or otherwise. Now, if you go further and you also look at the definition that's provided for train, it says it means train for the purpose of exhibiting or for use for safeguarding. And now, as I said, there are two things that one can identify which were meant to be addressed by the Principal Act. That is exhibit, train, and use animals for performing purposes. And use of safeguarding then, only in respect of dogs, in terms of the Principal Act. It says, this means the training, use, or placing at disposal for gain, or the letting of a dog, with a view to, or for the protection of persons and property. And then, from the provisions or the suggestions that the department has provided, the dealing with the prices with the long title, I thought that proposal, depending on which angle you look at, has got two positions. There was the department that said that we change the long title to say in respect of the part which deals with the licenses. As said, we must say to provide for a procedure for the application for a license to exhibit and train performing animals or use of dogs for safeguarding. So that proposal is clear, and at least it still maintains to exhibit and train performing animals or use of dogs for safeguarding. But from their proposal, one can still see that it says we are still maintaining the position that we are talking only about dogs that are to safeguard. And in that regard, depending on whether they explain to the committee whether the position must be changed from looking at those two to say we are looking at all other animals that are used for safeguarding and all animals that are used for pet homing. Or alternatively, we leave it as is to say we are only focusing at pet homing animals and licenses thereof and dogs and licensing thereof. And then as I was under definition still, from the proposals or the submissions from the public, they also made an issue about the definition of animal scientist. And I looked at the Natural Sciences Act. I think there was just a little mistake in the bill because it's given South African and then it continues. But the Act is actually Natural Scientific Professions Act of number 27 of 2003. When I checked that Act, that does not correct from the other submissions that that definition, animal scientist, is not defined. However, if you look at Schedule 1 of that Act, there are fields that they have listed to say these are the fields under which the profession under natural sciences can be listed. For instance, if you look at Section 17 and Section 18 and 19 of that Act, it sets out that you can have a candidate natural scientist, you can have a professional scientist, and then at the least, there's animal science, that is a field. And there is no profession that specifically been explained. And when I looked at the dictionary explained a scientist, and then I tried to link the scientist as well as the explanation or definition of what animal is. And basically the dictionary said a scientist is a person who studies or practices any of the sciences or who uses scientific methods. So the department in drafting the bill decided in terms of clause 3, which gives us qualifications as to who are the people or what qualifications must you have in order to address this issue of licensing the welfare of animals or of protecting the animals that are performing. So if you look at that and if I look at the schedule of the bill, my proposal is that in fact animal science as a subject or animal scientist as a profession is well encompassing of any other subject or of any other profession that you would want included. And hence the department chose in clause for the National Licensing Officer, they said in clause 3B, the qualification of a national licensing officer, the officer designated in terms of Section 3A must be an animal scientist or a veterinarian. So as I look at the Natural Sciences Act profession, as well as the intention and what this bill seeks to address, I thought the two terms that they have chosen to put there are sufficient to cover any other expertise or any other profession that deals with animal science. And as since the Natural Sciences Act does not define what an animal science or what an animal scientist is, I think the term as such is sufficient in that regard. And now dealing with the provisions of the Act in terms of drafting, what I've just indicated was broadly dealing with the purpose as well as the long title and the issues that came out, which sort of created the confusion in terms of what exactly are we intending to do with this proposed legislation. With specific provisions, the one that had serious contention is clause 3, which basically clause 3 is the main part which seeks to address what the Constitutional Court found to be unconstitutional. Now, I've spoken to the issue of animal scientists and how limiting or restricting it is. But now, I want to speak to clause 3 in terms of 3D, 3E, 3F, and 3H. So 3D basically empowers the DG at the request of the National Licensing Officer to appoint the experts or other public servants or other people employed in terms of the public service to be actually experts or other persons that may assist in the implementation of the Act. For me, in line with 3D, I think the main issue is the concern what exactly as it was raised, what does it mean may be necessary to implement this Act. Because we appreciate that the department is granted the mandate to deal with all the portfolio subjects that falls under agriculture, forestry, and the other things as you know. Now, to implement this Act, which its subject is talking to animal protection, yes, their mandate, and so they have a core mandate to implement any Act that deals with the subjects that fall within their portfolio. Now, my question as I was looking at this and seeking to understand was, as implement this Act not then create a confusion as the public admission suggested, and does it not take away the money that is solely given to the department and places it somewhere in the air where then we are not clear what exactly will be done under this empowerment, what is the extent, what will be the criteria. So those are the issues, and in suggesting that perhaps to look at this problem, maybe it may be necessary for drafting purposes, and once the committee has deliberated and taken its point, that instead of giving it such a broad, open, blanket mandate to say, appoint expert or other persons which may be necessary to implement this Act, and there is an issue that the minister or the DG will have to then sort people who are outside from the department, but people that have the expertise and understanding of this field, which we also were told that there is a lot of lack of skills in this regard, and therefore definitely there is a possibility that the DG, or once this person is sourced, will have to look at the profession itself as defined in terms of the Natural Sciences Act. And then I thought maybe, but once the committee has taken its stand, all the other jokers will look into this and find maybe a better way to look into this. But I thought it would help to actually say, may appoint experts or other persons to assist when necessary in the implementation of the Act, rather than broadly as now it appears, because it seems to take away the mandate of the department and delegate it elsewhere. And this then takes me to the next provision, which is 3E. And 3E is saying the National Licensing Officer may delegate any of his or her functions under this Act. So 3D and 3E may be a little bit difficult to separate, but they seem to be connecting or overlapping somehow. And then also, whilst at 3D and 3E, there was an issue that other persons appointed in terms of Section 3D, which is to say it's people that are either already public servants who are appointed in terms of the Public Service Act, or people that will be willing as experts in their field to actually take up positions or take assistance, provide assistance, but in line with the Public Service Act. The bill defines officer, and that is clause 4. It defines officer to mean a person appointed in terms of the Public Service Act and employed in a national or provincial department. Now, I think the main thing coming out of that proposed definition is that we are now saying we include provincial department in that term which says any other person appointed in terms of Section 3D or any other person delegated to do the functions of this. Now there comes a situation where there is a possibility to consider and now say, when the National Licensing Officer delegates the function to address the public concern that you're saying, this will be difficult to address at national level. So somehow there should be provincial points. Provincial points that will deal with the issuing of this licensing and that will deal with whatever other problems that may arise in relation to licensing. Now, the Act as proposed, or the bill as is proposing, it gives a function to the National Licensing Officer, and that would be a person appointed at national level. But now there's an issue, as other submissions indicated, for instance, that with the magistrate, what used to happen is that people were e-copying. If the magistrate in this district, for some reason, has refused to grant the license, then they will move to another district. But that issue was explained as to how the legal system works. But in this instance, I think the same concern will arise again, because as other submissions pointed out, there needs to be provincial points. And Section 3E seeks to address that, to say if there is a need that that possibility occurs, the national officer can then appoint other persons from provincial governments. And having looked at the definition that seeks to explain officer, I thought there is not much that is incorrect or unlawful with the provision as drafted, except to say perhaps it's possible that we should then make it mandatory that when this process occurs, because those people will have an authority that is controlling them or that is governing them and that has power over them to direct what it is that they do and how they do their functions, then there should be, in addition to 3E, that when a delegation occurs, there should be a provision that seeks to explain that consultation must take place, and that consultation must not just be optional, especially when we follow the definition of officer, which links up or overlaps to explain or other person appointed in terms of Section 3D. In 3F and 3H, the department proposed that this act, which basically says under 3F, 1A, the National Licensing Officer may grant an application for any license if he or she is satisfied that the information furnished by the applicant as contemplated by Section 3A2 is in accordance with the purpose of this act. They were suggesting that we change this to the, basically, there is not an issue with either of the two ways. However, the only problem, as I noted when I was looking through this, is that this act can create a confusion in light of Section 10, which basically says, when we look at the protection, at the Animal Protection Act, we must not separate it from the Performing Animal Protection Act. So those two acts, they somehow have to be read together. Now, this act would only create that problem that if you say this act, then you are not clear as to whether you are talking to the General Protection Animal Protection Act or you are talking specifically to the animals that are performing and animals that are horses guarding purposes. And in respect of 3H, which now talks to the license, the application of license, 3HA, 1A, which says any person who intends to exhibit any animal. I think the main problem that has been created is confusion, and the confusion was in the choice of words that we prefer to use. For instance, the department in their proposal suggested that we should define animal and change whereas there's already a provision, as I said, that says the definition that is in the Animal Protection Act is the definition that applies here. So when we look at drafting, we should consider all the use of terms like any animal, considering that the restrictions that the animal we were speaking to are only the animals that are performing, as well as dogs that are used for safeguarding purposes, and then any animal seems to bring back more confusion. So in terms of drafting and considering which footprint of waste must be used, then some of the other things will be corrected and sorted out with the direction and instruction from the committee, of course, as to what needs to be done in terms of paraphrasing correctly to make it clear, simply, and without creating any further confusion. Other submissions also pointed out on the mail that is in 382E, which basically says I referenced incorrectly there, but the point that I wanted to respond to here is is actually the intention of 3H3, which says the licensing officer may, with the consent of the applicant, visit the premises under the lawful control of the application to assess the suitability thereof of the intended exhibition. I think a proposal either from NSPCA or one of the other presenters indicated that may should actually change to must. And in terms of drafting and explaining that provision, I think the may, instead of making the visit or the investigation into the premises mandatory, it's sought to empower the licensing officer to have a discretion as on to how he can go about seeking to investigate or check the premises. So the may is a discretionary empowerment on the licensing officer rather than on whether this will or will not be done, to explain that it can be done either in terms of the law, because there is an issue of the right to privacy, for an example, when you have to buy into some person's private property because you want to do your function. So that process, the may was not necessarily speaking to whether this function would be compulsory and mandatory over the National Licensing Officer, but it was speaking more to the processes as to how the National Officer would go about in that light. And then I think the other point, the last point that we also have to consider, and the department perhaps did not listen to when they prepared their responses, is the last point for drafting purposes, as we indicated initially when my colleague advocate made a presentation that in section 11A was already part of the Act, so for purposes of correcting that and for purposes of alerting the committee not to forget that, because all the amendments that we will prepare for purposes of the bill and the AIDS must be the amendments that the committee has given a mandate, that is the amendments that we actually go through with. So those basically are the main concerns that arose from the department's responses as well as from the public hearing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anna. About the first presentations, we have two presentations, one from legal and one from the condemned advisor, isn't it? We have a presentation from the side. So, Chairperson, I'm not sure of your plan, so for just raising that, we are done, we deliver, and then that one is remaining and looking at the times.
Thank you. I think for now we're there to let me allow if the members want to ask questions. Any questions, then we'll call the department in. We'll continue with the content advisor after the department. Can I just check if there's any questions in terms of what the legal team has raised? Nothing, it was clear. Thank you very much, the legal team. We'll now allow the department to come in. DM, you're welcome. We couldn't keep you outside the room. So, but you're welcome, DM. Can we allow the department to come in? And then we'll then continue with the content advisor's presentation later. Department and the DM, already we have noted your apologies and thanks for considering that this meeting is important. Thank you very much for coming, DM. And we have noted the apology of the minister and the DG. We told you that the DG will be represented by the DG. DM, you are leading the delegation of the department. We'll now hand it over to you. We have public hearing after the presentation by the department on Parker View. And now we are at a stage where we invite the department to come and respond to the issues that have raised by the public before the committee deliberate on the bill itself. So I'm now going to hand it over to you, sir. If there is any new person that you want us to know, you're welcome to introduce yourself.
No, thanks, Chairperson. We were not very sure what the minister that should be put on the PDC, Minister of Sovereign. So we're not sure. And the ETC is a question of Walala Wafala, so we need to be there otherwise. Fish to fish there. So you need to be there. And here are friendly forces. So you need to be here, but a friendly forces. Okay.
it depends on the measurement. My friendliness might be your energy might be your friendliness. So it depends on the situation.
But the other company is time.
Once it goes through, what you see is surely the PDG. Okay, see, but I'm sure they will be representing and taking us forward to put the responses of the department so that we are able then to deliberate. So without further a waste of time, Chairperson, I'll hand over to the DG.
Chairperson, honorable members, Deputy Minister, colleagues, the rule here from the department today stems from the engagement that we have been having with the portfolio committee, emanating from the discussions, the deliberations that were there in April 2015, going through to the written input that were received and oral presentations that were made on behalf of May 2015. And the subsequent expectation that comes from the portfolio committee for the department to respond to the issues that were raised by the stakeholders. In short, what we have done, Honorable Chair, is that we have categorized the input that we are having in five areas, where we think that there are issues around general animal welfare, which is not the objective that we are currently dealing with in terms of the revision that we are having, but we thought it is very important for us to respond to the issues that were raised by stakeholders. Secondly, we're dealing with the oral comments that would have been there in terms of the concerns that were raised within the discussions, which we think would form a strata of what we will be looking at when we deal with the animal welfare bill. And then we also look at the written comments that were there from the stakeholders. And of importance would then be dealing with the specific issues that were in the clauses that were raised by the stakeholders. And we will outline who said what and how we would respond from a departmental point of view in terms of those issues. And then we will then deal with the issues that would, by nature of legislation, be appropriately covered in the regulation. And take us through the work that we have done since we left through the portfolio committee with our engagement. It's Dr. Songabe who gave the last presentation that we have had. We have prepared more than 40 slides. We will try to summarize the issues that are there because we are quite aware that some of the things are quite written out in terms of this, but we'll try and summarize through. I'll now hand over to Dr. Solabe to run through the presentation on the elements, the life elements that we've outlined regarding the bill. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much, Dr. Masufi, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, DM. It is our pleasure as a department to present our responses on the input from the public hearing. This is just a brief presentation outline. It really indicates the key issues that Dr. Masudi has already mentioned that we will deal with today, and then we will wrap with the conclusion. In this presentation, our acronyms, honorable members, have increased that. So we have tried to summarize those words that we are using much more often in the presentation. AW, Animal Welfare, Animal Protection Act, APA, BAT, Ban Animal Trading, DAF, and then the NGOs in this context, we use them as non-governmental organization. The NSPCA that we've been having a long time ago, National Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, PAPA, the one we're dealing with, Portfolio Committee, reference to this committee, and the South African Veterinary Council and the South African Veterinary Association is in this regard. The council is actually members. Nadia Mswiti has already given the overall background that we are responding to the issues that we raised for the written comments as well as those that we had before this committee on the 12th of May. Nadera Masudi has already indicated the broad specific areas in which we have grouped these comments. I will immediately then deal with the overall underlying issues, honorable members. I think the issue that has been raised several times by the stakeholders, by honorable members, and by everyone that we have talked about. And we were also excited that here in this committee, the stakeholders also confirmed to the honorary members that the inputs that they were raising with the committee, they actually raised them with Gideon during the task process. Of course, they did indicate that to a certain extent some of their input was considered and some was not considered to the degree of satisfaction. And I think honorable members, this comes as the reality of the consultation, especially in a arena of the animal welfare where we have got a team of stakeholders whom we can say they are significantly polarized in that regard. So when we have really considered the final version, we have actually considered all these inputs that are sometimes conflicting, sometimes competing, and we have tried to come with a version of the bill that we consider it to be both balanced, precise and incisive, and taking cognizance of everything we have had. So it has not been possible to accommodate everyone 100%, but we have taken all the points that we could touch on. The majority of the comments and inputs were not necessarily specific to the current bill, honorable members, but it was the general animal welfare matters that most stakeholders raise often. The most important thing was that the stakeholders were unhappy that the department didn't use this opportunity of the amendment of PAPA to actually repeal PAPA and to provide a revised overhaul comprehensive holistic animal welfare bill that responds to the current new developments and encapsulates the animal welfare.
Can you push it quicker because we don't have much time, so can you be faster?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. In a nutshell, the stakeholders, they just found that the PAPA was old, outdated, and they were of the view that the path we took as the department was just unwise by just purely fixing the portion of the act, whereas the entire act is holistically defective. There were then general inputs that were given, which included the issue that there wasn't a rationale for exclusion of certain groups of animals, such as reptiles or animals that are excluded in the Section 9, that we say they will not be affected by these licenses. There were issues about the quality defined purpose of the act, or sometimes referred to as the long tail of the act. And there was a general feeling from the stakeholders that the government doesn't really take that leading role when it comes to animal welfare matters. Honorable members, we have said it before this committee as well that we do concur with everyone when we come to the issue of the act being too old and required a complete work in order to holistically provide a new modern legislative framework. In this regard, we have indicated to the honorable members before that we would have loved to take both PAPA and Animal Protection Act, which are currently fragmented and difficult to manage, and to repeal all those acts, they are also old, and then combine them into a new, modern, consolidated act. And we have already taken some strides, honorable members, to deal with this matter, and we have already drafted a animal welfare strategy, because we are hoping that all the issues that are raised in general will then be addressed in this document. Honorable members, the department in this case, I think we did indicate that we did not specifically look at all animal welfare matters and we opted to just look at the sections that were affected by the constitution. We had indicated that this was really based on the limited time that we had, and the fact that in some circumstances we still needed some empirical research to base our decision. And finally, we also have the issues with the limited resources currently available at our disposal to deal with these broader matters, and that at this present moment we opted to quickly align the PAPA with the acts that we are currently in Elbaf. You will recall, honourable members, that last year we had this slide where we were actually discussing all the key options that we have available, and why ultimately the department felt that option one was the only one that we must consider at this stage, being them, because they, then we will be dealing with the section two and section two. The advantage of this option then was that it was giving us one, the immediate ratification of the constitutional judgment quicker, and then it would also assist us to fulfill the court of order within the prescribed time frames. Honourable members, I now deal with the specific comments that talked to the bill that were raised by the stakeholders, either in return or oral. There is a concern that the purpose of the bill as it's currently written shall be made to recognize that the bill is designed to protect the welfare of performing animals and dogs used for safeguarding. The other team BAT suggested that the purpose of the bill should be written as to provide for a procedure for the application for a license, exhibit, or train or use animals for safeguarding. Honourable members, our view is that in principle I think all these proposals are actually sound, but we would like to consider them for incorporation into a future bill. We are all very good that the current bill that is before the one of the members, in the present moment it is correct in as far as it is to insert certain provision. The current amendment is in itself not really designed to provide holistic protection of animal welfare, and also it is not only providing for a procedure for application of license to exhibit or train or use animals for safeguarding. In that regard, we believed that the bill, the paper in its current form, was reasonably sound. However, we have made some few proposals that we think we would like to recommend to the honourable members for them to be considered in terms of the current wording as well as the proposed wording. Therefore, we have added the lines that are in red so as to retain certain sections, and then further down the bottom, we have added that it is also to exhibit a train and performing animals for or use of dogs for safeguarding. We are hopeful, honourable members, that these purpose of the bill that we are proposing, it hopefully satisfies the various interests of the stakeholders, and that it can actually be factored in the bill by the honourable members. We, however, remain open to any other proposed wording, especially because we also view that regardless of how we word it, it will not impact on the actual content of the bill at this present moment. It will not affect the department in terms of administering the bill. Honourable members, then there has been a concern regarding Section 3B. We have categorized the content into three forms. One, the use of the scientists as part of the team that can issue these licenses. The issue of the fact that the animal rights or animal experts or animal activists are not involved in the processes of issuing the license. And the last one dealt with the definition of an animal scientist. I now deal specifically with the issue that pertains to the use of animal scientists. Stakeholders raised concern on the prescription that the National Licensing Officer must either be a veterinarian or an animal scientist. there was a strong dossier that was supported by the South African Veterinary Council, the South African Institute for Advanced Constitution, and the University of Pretoria, where it was really explained at length why they have objected to this proposal. The objection appeared to be questioning the training or competency or authority of the and ethical obligations of the animal scientists on matters of animal welfare. We also noted when we were before you, honorable members, that there were also other groups of stakeholders who were before you who were actually saying that even the, with the veterinarians as well, there could be issues of a similar nature, and therefore they were not really in support of just saying the animal scientists are incompetent. Having said that, we have looked at the views in general, and as the department, we actually felt that this overly objection of the use of the scientist, it could be more related to the protection of the professional of the veterinarians in the country. I think we are all tempted as professionals to want to limit the scope that other persons can do into only our field, and it happens across all professions. We as the department are of the view that the training of animal scientists is inclusive in animal welfare matters as it is the training of the veterinarians. We even argue, honorable members, that if the members of the veterinary profession were the only competent professionals to deal with the animal welfare work, then many members of the animal welfare organizations could not be rendering this work now, because the majority of them are not necessarily veterinarians. As such, we as a department are of the view that the ethical obligations of animal science towards animals is as unquestionable as those of the veterinary profession. We also tried to look through locally and abroad relating to specific training or courses or modules that lead to a qualification of animal welfare professional per se, and there aren't actually those in general. There are other trainings where concepts of animal welfare are entrenched, and they are entrenched in whatever training that generally involves the handling of animals. Therefore, we are of the view that the objections to the use of animal scientists is not adequately justified from what we could gather. We are of the view that there could be areas where the animal scientists could be more knowledgeable, more experienced, and better suited to pronounce on welfare of certain species when compared to veterinary professionals. We know, honorable members, that the veterinary professionals, when we come to the issues pertaining to fish, aquaculture, and so on, we tend to look at the biologists and other group of people who are more knowledgeable in that regard compared to the veterinary professionals. Therefore, as a department, we propose to retain the section 2E as is, in as far as the use of animal scientists in issuing licenses in this regard. Honorable members, then let me deal with the issue of the inclusion of animal welfare organizations in the processes of issuing licenses. This submission, we have seen it from various stakeholders, written in different forms, but the overall component is that it deals with a method or a way where the animal welfare organizations can be included in the process. The specific comment that came in then from that was that the licensing process cannot depend on one or two executive officers who have no knowledge or experience in the field of animal welfare or animal rights. Therefore, the latter should be involved in the issuing of licenses. We as the department hold a different view, honorable members. We are of the view that methods described in Section 3D, meaning the veterinarians and the animal scientists, have knowledge, expertise, and experience in the field of animal welfare and animal rights. There is no evidence from what we could gather for the rationale or justification that they don't. Secondly, we view the proposal to include animal welfare organizations or rights or activists in the process of issuing licenses as potentially unconstitutional. We based this on the judgment that was made when the initial application was made by the NSPCA in the Northern Gauteng High Court. Honorable members, if I remind you what had happened, there was that the NSPCA had made two pleas in the application. One was to declare Section 2 and 3 unconstitutional, but the second plea was to actually then request the court to hand over these functions to them. The rationale then was that the function, this is the function of the executive and therefore could not be granted to the members who are not part of the executive. In the judgment, it was specifically ruled that the NSPCA is not part of the executive and they cannot be part of issuing of licenses. By implication, DAF strongly advises against any attempt to include any animal welfare organizations in the processes of issuing proper licenses in any manner that can be compulsory, as we view this as it would be going against the very same principle of the Constitution. We have noted that in the written submission and that was presented by NSPCA, there are similar proposals but worded differently, but the outcome is the way in which the animal welfare organizations can be included. We similarly advise against these proposals. We also looked at the general database with over 225 animal welfare organizations. There will never be satisfactory justification in selecting one or two animal welfare groups into being part of issuing licenses. We also view that the issuing of licenses will always be informed by scientific principle, sound animal welfare, and sound animal welfare consideration. DAF advocates the view that the animal welfare organizations shall not be included in the processes of issuing PAPA in any manner that is compulsory. Honorable members, we dealt with this matter at length with the state law advisors at a time when we were drafting and we were discussing this bill. We wanted specifically an advice in order to derive an acceptable text that could still accommodate in one way or another the animal welfare organization in providing the possibility of giving them some role that they can play. As such, honorable members, we are of the view that the animal welfare organizations are better suited for possible consultation as already provided for in the bill before the honorable members, section 3C1, where we say that the NLO may request from any person or any organization subject to relevant provisions of the Promotion of Access to Information Act any information that may be required to enable the National Licensing Officer to consider the application for license. This is one section then that we are then saying that it may be possible for the NLO to then request information from these organizations. Honorable members, then I must also then say that we have also then included in the appeals process that any person who may feel aggrieved by the license issue can actually a large complaint. So in a way, we are of the view that these organizations are really adequately catered in the current context. Honorable members, then I deal with the section 3D that deals with the appointment of experts. What we gathered when we were allies in all the written input was that there is a specific concern in this regard. Some stakeholders expressed caution that the lack of definition of the word expert or qualifications of such expert is problematic. Specifically, in our view, these stakeholders, they raise this within the context that they are worried that such expert may be members of animal welfare organizations who may have malicious agenda towards their businesses or enterprises. So it was more related to a fee that we saw. Honorable members, we want to clarify, and hopefully we'll do that to also to the members of the public, that the aspect that we are referring to will still have to be qualifying in terms of the provision of Section 2. So it will then be an animal scientist or a veterinarian. And once these experts are appointed in terms of this ratio, they actually become part of the executive. So they will not be in that process as an outsider, but they become the executive and therefore will be legitimately suitable to participate in the process. And therefore, they will not be representing the animal welfare organizations. Honourable members, then a concern has been raised that the current version of the bill before the Parliament appears to give impression that the delegations of powers and functions will be limited to only those persons that are described in the appointment in terms of Section 3. However, we have indicated to the honourable members that such delegation will not be limited to only such persons. In this regard, we are proposing, honourable members, to consider the rewording of this specific section and factor the amendment of additional groups other than those that are described in Section 3. We propose an insertion of an officer in Section 3E, and the proposed rewording actually that we are proposing today was initially captured in the draft that we had when we gazetted in April last year. We, however, lost during the consultations and editorial. Hence, we are proposing that we had lost it in error and propose that it be reconsidered. This proposed rewording, honourable members, allows the delegation to other existing officers appointed in terms of the Public Safety Act. As such, honourable members, the current wording then in the current version before the honourable members, we are proposing the insertion of 31A, which is an officer, and then we are further qualifying that component by adding the subsection 3 in the bottom, where we see persons convicted in subsection 1 shall still comply with the provisions of 3B. Honourable members, the wording on Section 3F1A has been questioned, and that was the submission by the professor, since it makes reference to the purpose of the Act, and I've already just discussed here on that we have looked at the purpose of the Act, which was, the reference to the purpose of the Act was considered to be unclear by the stakeholders. We have noticed this comment and we are proposing to the honourable members to rework this section so as to eliminate any ambiguity related to the challenges in understanding the purpose of the Act. As such, this is purely consequential to the fact that we have reworked the purpose of the bill that has been discussed in previous slides. We are now proposing the new wording. Honourable members, I need to just take you through the slide because it doesn't come up very clear in the current proposal. In the current proposal, the section 31A reads that the information furnished by the applicant as contemplated by section 3H2 is in accordance with the purpose of this Act and of this Act. What we are proposing, honourable members, is to actually, and that is on the second column, we are proposing that we actually delete the word in red. In other words, we say the purpose of the information furnished by the applicant as contemplated by Section 3H2 and leave it full stop there and delete all that red text and then continue with the subsection in the bottom. And there is a proposed special number in that regard. Honourable members, then there has been a concern that has been raised around Section 3H, and it deals with how we have used the term any animal, and it's regarded as being too wide. We propose to reword this section to remove the reference to any animal, so that we just limit it to an animal. Thus, further propose that specific definition of an animal must be included in the current amendment. And if even if this may be perceived as superfluous, as the definition is already included in ARPUM. We think that this addition of this definition will really assist in the ease of reference, and so that is covered in Section 4. As far as the proposing, then, honourable members, the current wording now on that 381, it says a person who intends to exhibit any animal, to train any animal. We are proposing to remove the Y in both circumstances, so that we say an animal. And then when one asks, what do you mean by an animal, we can then refer them to the definition that we have proposed that it be accepted. Honourable members, I now deal with the specific comments that dealt with the definition of an animal scientist. The stakeholder indicated that the definition of animal scientist is not properly represented in the current bill, in as far as it relates to National Scientist Professions Act. We, honourable members, accept that in that act there is actually no specific term or terms pertaining to animal scientist per se. However, the intent of the use of the term animal scientist in the context of PAPA before the honourable member is really intended to specify the natural scientist registered in the field of animal science in terms of that act. We have listened and viewed that the submission was probably correct in terms of being ambiguous, and therefore, honourable member, we are proposing that the committee could consider amending the definition of animal scientist in the current bill in order to provide more clarity on what we intended and to address the concern of the stakeholder. Honourable members, the proposed wording then is indicated in the red section there, where we describe an animal scientist means a person registered as an animal, as a natural scientist in the field of animal care in terms of that. We are hoping then that actually addresses the concern of this stakeholder. Honourable members, other issues came in on oral comments. The definition of an animal, stakeholders have raised the direct concern that the definition of an animal shall be clearly explained. Thus, remains of the view that this definition of an animal was really not, in our view, affected by constitutional judgment, and hence we have not considered touching it during the review process. However, we are proposing that just for the ease of reference, the honourable members may consider adding the definition of an animal in a current bill, but purely for the ease of reference. In other words, we want to recommend that definition shall remain consistent with Section 1 of ARPUM, and that it must also then be noted that the issue of reptiles remains the same. The reptiles are excluded, as already contemplated in Section 9 of ARPUM. Honourable members, the proposed definition then that we are proposing that must be added on the definition is: an animal means any equine, bovine, sheep, goat, fowl, ostrich, dog, cat, or other domestic animal or wild bait, or any wild animal or wild bait which is in captivity or under the control of a person. And we would like to leave it like that, because then it already excludes the reptile. In the current bill, we had not really written any definition of an animal, as it was not affected by the constitutional court. But in the bill, then it implies that already the animal on section one of ARPA was the definition that was implied or used. Honourable members, there are then general concerns or comments that were raised by stakeholders, but we are of the view that they are generally covered in the regulation. The issue read how will minister designate the NLO. Our response really is that the designation will be in writing and published on the draft website. There was a concern that it is unclear whether the draft performing animal regulations will replace the current regulation that exists in terms of that section. Our view, honorable members, is that the repeal of Section 2 and 3 of PAPM in the current amendment implies that the regulations issued in terms of such sections are automatically repealed unless otherwise expressly specified. This, therefore, implies that we require the new regulations, and the new regulations that we have already published as draft for comments are aimed at driving this agenda. Honorable members, the stakeholders have requested that the bill should indicate the amount of time that the NLO has to make a decision. We are of the view that in the current draft regulations we have accommodated this and indicate that the turnaround time should really be this includes receiving the applications, going to do the inspection, and then making a decision or a recommendation. Honorable members, then stakeholders raised that the issuing of licenses should be centralized within the National Licensing Officer and not delegated down to the regions. Our view is that the department will still maintain the national level of coordination of PAPM licenses. However, all delegated officers will actually issue the license on behalf of the National Licensing Officer in their own respective geographical areas. And they will be sending us monthly report so that we can use these for monitoring and auditing purposes. In the regulations themselves, honorable members, we have actually unpacked at length that we will be considering using a unique certificate, unique paper, and so on, that will be issued centrally. So the process will remain centralized in a way. Honorable members, then the stakeholders raised concerns that in the past, in terms of the current requirements for application for the PAPM license, it was taking such a long time to get a police clearance, which is part of the requirements that when you do the applications, you must submit. And that was making the entire process very tedious. Some stakeholders said 3 to 6 months, sometimes waiting just for police clearance. Our response to this concern was that we have now considered this, and it will form a significant delay in the issuing of licenses. And as such, on the requirements for application, we have not included it. Honorable members, then there is a concern that a license should only be valid in the district where the application took place. I think this is how the current system is. However, we considered during the dialogue, honorable members, that this whole issue has been among the things that have made the whole issue being difficult to operate and implement it in practice, because it translates that every time an animal moves to a different district in terms of, especially like the circuses, the back dogs and so on, a new license will have to be obtained. Our view or our proposal there is that we now only have one license. That is issued once a year and is valid countrywide. There was a suggestion by the SA Dog Academy, honorable members, that guard dogs should be totally excluded from PAPM license, as this is already regulated by private security industry regulating authority. We also view that the guard dogs were part of the principal act, they were not excluded, and therefore we do not see how we can rationalize the exclusion of them now. Honorable members, we will recall that we had always indicated that we are just dealing with those specific parts that were affected by that constitutional court judgment. So this then is not one of them. There is a request from the stakeholders that we must publish all licenses issued on a government gazette for everyone to see. We unfortunately are considering a different proposal, honorable members, that we will maintain the database of all the licenses. We will make the database periodically available for perusal by stakeholders, but the suggestion to put all of them in a government gazette, we believe that it will be too costly. The licensing of movements of guard dogs is considered to be impractical as thousands of security guard dogs are moved on a daily basis. The stakeholders specifically raised operational concerns as to how this will be achieved without compromising security of the public or public as assets. We are of the view that based on our oral dialogue we had with various members of the industry, this matter is really important, and we have referred it to the technical team as they are looking at all the inputs in the regulations. We have discussed it at length when we had our own stakeholders on the 4th of May. These submissions being considered because they are realistic, logistically, and they are also an operational concern. Honourable members, I have at length then covered the broader issues as well as the specific issues pertaining to the bill as well as those issues that are covered in the regulations. We are of the view that we have looked at all matters raised by the public, and we have hopefully focused and covered all main key concerns. Matters that are not specifically covered today are considered to be either of generic in nature or are implied in some or more responses. We are hoping as a department that the stakeholder concerns captured by our team are consistent with those that have been captured in the committee, and that the responses that we have provided today will assist the honourable members going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. We would now allow members to ask questions. Starting from me, just a clarification question on the where it says the DG, reference is made to the DG, which the Act is given as the authority. And just a clarity, because my understanding is that the legislation resides in minister. Why is not minister, not why is it? On the appointment of the expert. Correct it. So, just a clarity, because the person who must be accountable at some point is minister. Just want to check why not minister is the issue. If I can get that clarity. Honorable State.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will have to start with the comments of the Deputy Minister. And I think, Chair, I'm not just doing it for the purpose of doing it. The reason why we are sitting here today and studying to fix a bill that's actually unfixable is because of the comments that the DA made in the beginning. This portfolio must be taken seriously, Chair, and all portfolios. It is our job to ensure that whatever we do here impact the lives of the people outside. And I'm not saying that the other meetings is not important. But we have been asking, the Deputy Minister wasn't here in the previous meeting when I told the DG, we cannot just fix this thing now quickly because your department has been saying, you know, for 18 months we have to extend the deadline on this Constitutional Court case once already. And it's for comments like that, DM, I don't want to fight with you. But the work of the portfolio must be taken seriously. If the department keeps on, you know, just coming here because you think it's good and nice to come and hello to it every now and again, and we don't do the work that we need to do, we are constantly going to have this same problem. So I just want to caution you nicely. We need to take the work seriously. We need to bring all these acts that are outstanding and have impact on the community out there to this portfolio so that we can work through them. And we can't get them late like this one. There's also another court case. You were taken to court, DM, by the animal, by the, who were they? The
rights, the meat industry, because of inflation. And it is because of these things. We must come here, we must have enough time, we must work through boards and legislation in time, and to ensure that we don't just approve something for the sake of improving it. The last bill that I dealt with in this portfolio, the previous term, on the fisheries, needs to come back to this portfolio for the same reason. It was sent here, we had 2 weeks, and then we had to approve it because the elections were on time, and now there's a problem. So, you know, we can't think of this portfolio as just something that must do something quickly so that your work can continue. So I really want to caution you. Actually, I have a lot of questions to the department. My first question that I would like to ask is, I have the draft bill that was sent for public comments in 2014. What has changed since then? The wording and these paragraphs have changed from here and there, but what has changed? Why does it help with your submissions by the public out there? Because, you know, even today, earlier we heard from the legal advisors that even the wording of the definition or the purpose of the act is unclear. I'm not clear what it is that we want to do. Why don't you just write, we want to make sure that the constitutional court cases are out? That's all. And we know that's what we're dealing with. But to try and fix something that's unfixable, I can't see us doing that. It brings us many, many, many other challenges now that we need to fix that this amendment is not going to fix. So if I can just maybe get some clarity on what changed, and I'm not talking about just the word here and there, but in principle, is there any better act or amendments bill on the table today than in April 2014 when you took it to the stakeholders?
Then, one of the things, so that we are together, all of us, which paragraph are you talking about? Which
I'm not talking on a paragraph.
Okay.
In 2014, the department published a draft bill to the stakeholders at that time, 2014. So I've looked through it, and I don't see changes. So the department did make a presentation on the public hearings and discussions with the communities after 2014. I think it was in May 2014. So the stakeholders, even more stakeholders than, you know, people that we saw here, so came and make a presentation to the department in 2014. So I want to know, from that time, what has changed? Fundamentally, I'm not talking about wording and shifting of paragraphs and putting in one or two other nice words that makes the bill a bit more technically correct. I actually want to know if the department took the consideration seriously, or did they just do it in order to say that they did it for a ticking box exercise, just to say that they did the public participation process. Chairperson, and then I have a few other questions.
Honourable Spain, I'm not going to want to ask of the department, but it was going to be very helpful if we are saying this stakeholder has raised this important issue and does not reflect in your input, so that we don't discuss generally want people to defend their input. But if we can be, if we are not ready now, it's fine, but we can, as we are going to deliver it, we should then have those important inputs that has been raised by the stakeholder that you think is important to be included in the bill, so that we can then be able to deliver it on them. So if you are not ready, it's fine, you can do it later.
Chairperson, thank you for that. I can't ask the questions on what the stakeholders said to the department, because it wasn't part of our process. It was a previous process. It was a process between the stakeholders and the department. So I didn't see their input. I will make an input on our stakeholder process, but I'm just asking the department, because I have the draft bill of that time from the department and the bill that was tabled to us now. And I don't see significant changes as a... So I would like the department to tell me what perceptions of the stakeholder consultation from them that they take into consideration to change the bill in a way that we're dealing with it today. Tipperton, I'm back on the section, and I know we've discussed it, on the section that provinces will play a role. I need the department to tell me if the provinces is going to play a role, will that have an impact on the provinces, and will that change the tagging mechanism of the department, of the ball. Then, on this section that deals with, it is a question on how does the use of animals for international services, how will that be dealt with? The licensing of that, do we have a way of ensuring that people that come here for international services be dealt with? And the question before I go to the dealing of the different presentations that we see, I just want to ask the department, when will this one animal welfare bill come to Parliament? How far are you with that? How long will it take before we get one bill to Parliament? I'll stop there, Chair. I'll do the others later. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Hussein. Honourable Ramsa.
The comment on the specific intention of the exercise since our last meetings around the bill itself. I think when it comes to that exercise, so far I think we have to come towards finalizing that one because of its nature, the cost and so on. As long as we do not finalize that one, we will not be able to pave the way forward now, which many of the state are asking for. So I'm saying, as far as the court judgment is concerned, I think I see quite a great improvement in making sure that the concern is addressed fully. As far as the responses are concerned, I can see that it has actually gone back. Now, my second comment is that we actually are aware that it does not go in to take us quickly somewhere if we do not start to work on the basis of dealing with some of the concerns raised. You know, that are permanent around the entire act itself now as stated, because you find that stakeholders from time to time seem to be going out of bounds. We're trying to address this one of the questions. What is coming is something out of bounds from time to time. So my plea to the department is that can we already after this start to work processes of getting work on the entire act itself, so that now it's not because of the courts now. We work on the basis of the new dispensation informed by other pronouncements now, so that we move forward. But on the basis of the today and the exercises, I think it is a great improvement and great work that we can improve for. Thank you.
Department?
Thanks, Deputy. I'll try to pick on it again. No, don't continue to that. I sat here and I listened to all the verbum that you're giving to me. Sit there and listen. It's your time.
PM?
No.
No, PM.
Chair.
No,
PM. No, Chair. No, Chair.
Can I chat with you?
Unless you say I'm here. No.
No, PM.
Okay, let me respond.
Let me
respond, Chair. I'm responding to you.
Yes.
And protect me, Chair.
Yes,
from the howlers.
Yes.
Chairperson, we sent an apology in this committee because it was not going to be able We're not going to be able to come, both the minister and myself. The minister was traveling, so I had to go there. After sending that, we realized that we were both there, so we split on our will without you saying, please come here. We are here because we take this committee serious. That's why we are here. To be told that we don't take this committee serious, it makes me really bored. But I understand English is not my language, and English is not for the member. The word caution is used in court and is used to the people that you undermine. That caution. I can't sit here and be cautioned by her. She's not Mrs. and I'm not a garden boy. You caution your garden boy as Mrs. I'm not anybody's garden boy. So I can't be warned by her, I can't be cautioned by her. If ever I can be warned, it could be the chair of this portfolio committee, not just another member doing that. We really demand the respect as we provide the respect to the portfolio committee, we demand it. I take a serious affection the way the member behaves. The last point I want to make here, we shall try forever to be in this portfolio committee, as the minister and myself. And we are trying. But there will be other things that take the executive members out of the portfolio committee, and we will apologize for that. And by sending the officials to be part of this committee. Coming to this, that nothing has changed. Chairperson, this is an original, when we talk with officials, this is an original bill. And if you take this bill, after the conversation, there is a paragraph that has been completely taken off. There is a paragraph completely taken off. This is after the conversation. This page all taken off. This all taken off. You can't tell me that this is not changed after consultation on the original view. Unless you have not read here, you come out of the form here, not written, and display your ignorance and blowing everybody around because it did not do your job.
Honorable members, I request that we use language that will be comfortable in the presence of our officials. We're supposed to be leaders and lead the officials. And honorable GM, if the questions as honorable Stein has raised actually made you feel somehow. I think it was not the intention of the member. We want to apologize on behalf of the member because he has done it for our committee. It is not intended to undermine you or undermine the department. Indeed, English is not our language. It might be interpreted differently. And we want to say that there was no intention. The intention was to say how we speed up the process and members avail themselves for discussion between ourselves as the committee and the minister. So can we get other response to their end?
Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, and the issue that was raised by Honourable Chair regarding reference to the DG in terms of 3D will be responded to by Dr. Solar. But the understanding that we are having is that the DG would always retain the administrative authority in terms of certain actions within the Act, so not directly in line with the Minister. The Minister still retains the executive authority. The issues that were raised by Honourable Spain around the draft comments that were made, I will clearly deal with those. And then the wording of the bill that is unclear, Dr. Songare will deal with it. But I think that in terms of the submission that we have made here today, there was a proposal that came from the department to try and remedy that kind of insertion that we made just to remedy the issues around the ambiguities that we had. So the underlines were in red, and Dr. Songa will specifically speak to that slide so that we can take honorable members on in confidence in terms of what our views would be. But honorable members would always reserve that right in terms of looking at the issue. Then also the issue around that was raised by Honorable Spain around the building and pixel. I think we were the first ones to make the admission in this house. However, we are faced with a constitutional court judgment that said, look at section 2 and 3, and within those time frames, this is what we could do with a clear understanding that there's an expectation from honorable members that we have got to come up with an animal welfare deal that would encapsulate both PAPA and the Animal Protection Act, and we will respond in terms of the time frames where we are. The slide that we referred to in terms of our presentation here, what the issues were in terms of this. One of the key issues that is we are looking at is that everything that we are doing should be based on empirical evidence, and that evidence would need us to commission studies within ourselves in terms of looking at the scientific issues that are there. Secondly, we also need to look at the current issues that we are having in animal welfare in general. So we will respond to the issues that were raised by honorable members. And then there is an issue that was raised here, honorable chair, that relates with how we as a department would advise relating to the taking of the deal. I thought that the legal officers of parliament and the legal officers of the department had tried to give guidance on this issue when it was first raised here, and the issue around the involvement of the provinces was by delegation, and it was a discretionary rule that was brought in, a provision that was brought in to say that the national licensing officer may, and in that term, in terms of may, I thought that the legal officer at that stage was saying that it did not have to be hacked differently to the current taking of 75, but I still need to be corrected, honorable chair. The last issue that I thought we would be also be deliberating on was around international circumstances. Any circumstance that comes to South Africa to exhibit is subjected to the very same laws that the South African circumstances would be subjected to. So you wouldn't have, in terms of international rules, imports being dealt with differently to what is happening locally. So that's the basic international law that would be applied in the agriculture sphere. And then, honorable Ramukwasa, I think we thank the guidance in terms of where we are and where we are going. I think it's an issue about the entire act that we will be dealing with in terms of what we are using. Now, with specific issues that I would refer to, I would like us to go through and with a clear indication that honorable members, some of honorable members might not have the draft that was issued in 2014. That was before the fifth parliament. But I have got a copy here, and I would really like to run through the issues that were raised by honorable state. There is a reference that what has changed in terms of this. If you look at the old presentation that we have had, subject to consultation with the stakeholders, the whole of section 3F in the draft was deleted, subject to consultations that we had with the stakeholders. Similarly, there was also an issue around the functions of the delegated officers, which was 3H. That section, subject to the discussions, was also deleted, and some of the provisions were brought in. We look at notices and summons in terms of 3J. I think I still say the whole of 3J was deleted. The whole of 3L was also deleted in terms of the provisions that we are having. And the whole of 3K similarly was deleted. And we will also go in terms of certain provisions in terms of how we were dealing with issues around the definitions that we are having. That the definitions that were previously given were amended subsequently to our consultation. And we would go to a level where we have deleted almost quite a few issues around the appeal board, the delegation officer, the national executive officer, because previously this is what we were looking at, to have a national executive officer substituted to the national the licensing officer. We have got 11A, 11B, 11C, all 11C up to that were deleted. So in essence, there has been a lot of changes in terms of the bill, and that is also attested to by the provisions. I think that when the public hearings were here, in unison, everybody who presented to the portfolio committee was saying, yes, our inputs were taken into consideration, but there was a difference in terms of the level, the degree in which those considerations were made. And we made this presentation to honorable members at some stage to say that taking into consideration that this is a dichotomous issue where you have got animal rights activists on the other and those who are actually using animals on the other, we played the role of giving policy space to the department to ensure that there is clarity in terms of policy without looking at which of the elements would be considered, taking that science into perspective, the administration into perspective, and the legal issues that were in place in perspective. So the bill as it stands, honorable members, does not look at either side, but tries to take what would be legally feasible for the country. I will now hand over to Dr. Songad to really articulate the three issues that I had of late that he will, from a practical and operational view, deal with. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Dr. As you come in, I wanted to say that on 3H, on 3H on the bill, which says may, why is not saying must, this consultation? Yeah, 3H. So why say may? Because the may something, why is not must? And before you continue, honorable McCausland.
Yeah, just for the doctor. On 5:39 and 34. Those two again give clarity on the options. On the options of there is 1, 2, 3. That's page 13. The slide will pull the page. Just explain, further explain to me the reasoning behind option 1. So that we get more clarity. Slide 34. Again, the reason that we explained there, but I didn't want to interrupt because I didn't get it clear. MS3F1. The current version, the proposed version. So if you can further elaborate on that one for me. And if that can be done. I then understand where you're coming from. Thanks. Thanks.
Yeah, okay, and the other one, which is the issue that Honorable Hussein raised on the delegation of the province, you may have made reference to the our legal advisors and department meeting, and there is a suggestion from our team which says avoiding the unlawful delegation to the provinces. Why don't you just put that a person granted a delegated, let me read it all of it, the initial clause needed to be qualified with a, I'm referring to slide 17 of the parliamentary, on the initial clause needs to be qualified with the requirement that consultation with the relevant authority to whom the person granted a delegation report or is accountable. And of course, so I think that's the issue of the provinces. So I'm not sure whether you agree with them or not. Doctor, are you right?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members, for the questions. I will first attempt to deal with the issue that Ndata Masole has already touched in principle, and unfortunately I don't have any extra more to put on regarding the appointments by the DG. All I can just explain, Honorable Members, is that if you look at the draft, for example, that we had, that was April 2014, it was actually saying that, those appointments would be done by the then what we had, the National Executive Officer. However, after an extensive consultations, one with the members of the public, that we're saying that generally this national licensing officer doesn't actually have the appointment powers in terms of appointing the public officials and so on, and that these functions must then actually be referred to the accounting officer of the department, because that's where the budget is at. So the way it's currently framed then now is that the national licensing officer will approach the DG and say, I need certain expertise in this area, in this area, because they are not within government. And having said that, then the DG, because with the financial implications and so on, in consultation with the CFO, will then assist the national. So these people will then be appointed in terms of all the other public officials in which that administrative function normally resides with the
agency. In terms of Public Service Act, the only person who has the power to employ is the executive authority. And the executive authority can then delegate. That's why I'm asking that question.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think it's something that we can actually look at in the manner in which we wear it now and actually make it proper. Thank you. Honorable Members, then, if I continue, Honorable Steyn specifically requested us to outline the role that will be played by the province in terms of the current provisions. At the present moment, Honorable Members, I think we have indicated before this committee that generally, the work that that is done by the veterinary services is such that at the national level, there are norms and standards that are developed, and then in terms of the various execution, some of the work on the field is actually done directly by the national officials, and some of the work is done by the provincial officials. In this regard, we then indicated to the Honorable Members that among the issues that we are looking at, and especially given the agency of the matter, is that we will indeed be making use of the field officials who are provincial veterinary officials in terms of considering those delegations. Honorable Steyn, then if you look at the slide that we have that compares what we currently have on the bill as well as the proposed amendment, we have now proposed to add an officer. Now, if you go then to Section 11A, the officer has now been described as the person who is appointed in terms of public health. In our view, and how we are currently carrying even the Mid-City Act and other acts, is that we are then able to use that officer, whether it's employed at a province or it's employed at a national or whatever, as long as it's an officer that is employed in terms of Public Service Act, and as long as that person still complies with the provisions of the treaty. So in that way, Honorable Members, the provinces would be involved in that regard. And until we reach our future goal where we said that we are proposing that we, in the future years, establish a whole network of animal welfare team in which we have already proposed the estimated cost before the Honorable Members in a previous presentation in the committee. So that is how we see it playing, Honorable Members. Then let me take this opportunity to clarify the options, Honorable Members, in the slide number 30. Essentially, we had to say, yes, the Constitutional Court judgment. How do we move forward?
we then brainstorm there is an option that we can just look at that section 2 and 3 that have been affected by judgment and deal with it and only and then deal with whatever consequential matter in the rest of the bill. But when we do that, we must just look only at those things that were challenged in the Constitution and were affected by the Constitution. But because the whole Act may need certain changes and so on, we mustn't deal with those unless only they are affected by the Constitutional Court judgment. So that was our option one, just deal with that part. The option two was, can we take this opportunity to actually redo the entire Act? That became our option two, meaning that we would then look at all power, look at what are the gaps, look at what is currently wrong, look at what is new information, but redo the whole Act, Papa, and maybe then we then repeal the 1985 Act, and then we replace it with a new Animal Welfare Act that talks to what Papa was seeking to do. That was the option number two. Option number three was to say that, okay, given the fact that we've got Papa, which is old, which is 1935, in a way, in its operational functioning, it's already linked to the Animal Protection Act, which is also old, 1962. Why don't we then work on both of these acts, totally repeal them, scrap them up, and then reassemble them, and then make a proper, totally holistic act that responds to everything comprehensively that deals with the animal welfare. So these are the choices that we have. What we then realized was that, oh, it is now the 11th of July. We have to be completed by the 1st of January 2050. How much time will we need to do either of these tasks? Then we realized that was starters just to take all the provisions, if you're looking at option two, just to take all the provisions that are in the Animal Protection Act and all the provisions that are in the current PAPA and all the gaps that have been identified in the system, we realized that we will need more time. We will need more time. Taking cognizance of what Nagera Masobi has just indicated, that in certain circumstances, we actually do not have the welfare indicator. If you recall, honorable members, honorable Sultan sometimes raised a point that how do we know when the animal is stressed beyond its tolerance level and those such. So all those things would require research. Then we then made a decision that it was impossible to do that within the 18 months. Then we went back to option two and said that while our long-term choice would be to do option three, but let's see then if we can just do the option two. But again, just looking at various elements of the PAPA on its own and all the other issues, we realize that dealing with section two and three on its own will be substantive work. But if we are to add other sections, and especially the issues pertaining to section nine, the issues pertaining to section seven of the existing PAPA, that would also take us a long time that we wouldn't fit within the 18 months that we were given by the court. Hence, we then say that for now, we would then concentrate just on this option one of dealing with this one and two purely for the time consideration, so that once we are done with this constitutional court issue, we can go back to our drawing board, and in fact, we are planning for option three in going forward. Then, if I just deal with the issue on slide 34. Yes. Sorry, I indicated that it's a little bit difficult to explain this one because of the way we've done it. Our poor computer skills. The main proposal, the honourable member, is that at the present moment, if you look at the current version, it says the information furnished by the applicant as contemplated in section 2H2
to is in accordance with the Act. Now, we are then saying that we are in accordance with the purpose of the Act. Now, we're saying that even this morning and in the previous days, there have been this discussion as to what should be the purpose of the Act and all these things that are not clear. So we have then decided to delete the reference to in accordance with the purpose of the Act, because the purpose on its own is another discussion. So essentially the proposal of the Honourable Member is that we now the new section must read the information furnished by the applicant as contemplated in section 3H2, and then we put a full stop. So we do not need. So in the second column, the is in accordance with the purpose of the Act is hereby deleted. So that's the change we are trying to make. Yes, in the proposition, so that we just remove anything that is not that relates to the purpose of the Act. Then there was an issue raised by the Honourable Chair regarding the may request the information versus shall request the information. Our view is that once we make it compulsory for the National Licensing Officer or a person delegated as such to go to somebody else who may not necessarily be the part of the executive, we are then reaching that very same issue that was said before the Northern Gauteng High Court, where the court said this function is the function of the executive. So it must be the executive that does this function. Now, when we say may, we are only offering an option that you may go out and look for this, but it remains your option. We are of the view that the moment we say must, we are then formally bringing people who are not the members of the executive into the process of issuing the license. And then we are saying that we are back to the system where it was done by the magistrate and it was unconstitutional. Now it's being done in part by people who are not the members of the executive, and it's still unconstitutional in our view. Hence, we are happy with the May because it provides an option. And then, in particular, for the Animal Welfare Organization, we are actually saying that the section on appeals is available to everybody. If I have issued a license and you are unhappy with the license that I have issued to a particular person, you are entitled to appeal the decisions that I have made. So in that way, they have the Animal Welfare Organization that wrote as well, shall it happen that I issue a license, I didn't approach them because I may or may not, and then they are unhappy about the outcome, then they can do that. So we are hoping that in that way we have managed to balance these two without bringing them formally into the process. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think we just heard Honourable Chair that there is a proposal that has been made by the parliamentary support staff on the wording that must be added, especially when it deals with the consultations prior to the delegation of functions, especially if that delegation is to the provinces and so on. We haven't actually seen that presentation yet, but just by the sounding of it, it actually sounds like something that is highly acceptable, because it is actually in our view that even if we have written there, all these work, they actually work in consultation. We have earlier on in the previous presentations, Honourable Members mentioned that actually the development of this bill
as well as the subsequent regulations, and as well as the draft animal welfare strategic framework we are talking about. It is actually done already by a team of officials from DAF and all the 9 provinces. So they are already a part of all this, and we will then further enhance it if we can bring that proposal. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you.
I think that we need to subject it to discussion, not that because as I said that we are going to fit it there. So it should be still subjected to discussion between the department and your team.
Okay, so Madam, I remind you where the delay is now. Yes, with us and they're cool. So, okay. So, Honourable thing.
Thank you, Chairperson. That slide that's up there now is exactly my problem. If we have to delete a section out of this bill to say it is in accordance with the purpose of this Act, because we are not clear what is the purpose of the Act, that is the problem. If we don't even know what is the purpose of the Act, right? How can we change it? That's why I said in the beginning, let's say the purpose of the Act is to ensure that we are in line with the constitutional focus, because that's what we're doing. We cannot make laws like that. And here, I don't want to fight with you again. That's why I said what I said earlier. Not because I want you in this meeting every week. I think we are quite grown up. We can do our things here on our own. But it is issues like this that really makes me angry. And I'm not stopping.
I've done what's the matter, and I've closed it. Please don't go back to it, because it will disrupt my meetings. I don't want disruption in my meetings.
I'm sorry, Chair.
Thank you.
So if we cannot agree on the purpose of the amendment or that, we can't fix it by the leading restriction. That's what I'm trying to say. So we must either then change the purpose or do something else, which I don't know. But if we look at some of the proposals from the people that came and made proposals, I'm sure we can fix it. And that was my question. And I've read your draft, 2014, and I know certain sections were deleted. But the purpose or implementation stayed exactly the same. One thing that I want to ask is one of the sessions that was deleted from your original draft is renewal of licenses. How will it be done now? It's something that I was wondering about. So, I don't know, Chair, we will have to sit later as a portfolio, and I don't know what to ask the department anymore, because I can't see us moving if we don't even agree on the purpose.
It was just also in the same issue of provinces, car consultation, and so on. That's why I'm trying to clarify myself, because in our discussion with the people, it was clear that somewhere this bill was amended, the 35 was amended in 62. Now, the question of local government coming in, because in fact, initially this was a competency here. So that is also cleared now, so that when we deal with the issue of the provinces, we are not bothered by the issue of the local government also, because now in the constitution, it calls them spheres, 3 spheres of government, so that at the later stage, they are not bothered by that kind of an argument. Thank you.
And the question on animal welfare bill, how far are we on that?
The issue of the animal welfare, I don't think you should bring it here, but what we can say, as we deal with concurrency, as this one goes to enactment, it should be in 6 months must get the report, because we're told that you started the process. In 6 months we need the feedback, how far are you, whether you've done those issues that needed to be done. Because this thing of animal welfare,
it's something that needs to be understood by all nations in the same way, because you have others that they use these animals as a traditional whatever, the moek, whatever. Others, like in one municipality, I remember when the other family had the gathering, the slaughter cow, and the next door called the police to say the way the slaughter is not human. So, and we're speaking about things that cannot speak for themselves, and everybody has its own interpretation. I think we should, I want us to say that understanding where we come from, let's negotiate the human part of it, like what Honorable Falcana was saying, to say how do you know that this is dope by horse, it's been threatened to the limit, now it doesn't want to run, and this one wants money, continuously beating it. So we have to reach that understanding as society, because there's no need to have the law that will actually subject to criticism, other people finding it difficult to relate with the legislation. Because the legislation are done for the community and for the people to regulate society. And it's important to understand, take the values and the cultural aspects of it into consideration as we deal with this, and start to debate on this and have the common understanding, the baseline, what is the human, so that we don't end up fighting unnecessarily, because those are supposed to carry a goal in the ganga to do ritual things and believe that it's going to be cleansed by the boat, and somebody saw them saying, I've seen the people doing something unhuman to the boat, then it must go through the court process. I think those are the things that must uplift in the society, because those are existing in the society, and such as today, before we even say, now we are regulated. So I think in 6 months, we expect the department to start that process, engage in communities, come up with the baseline, and then we'll go into the legislation. So I just wanted to say that we summarize it like that, and then we give it every, and we'll push it, because we need it, then respond to others.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. President. Honorable members, I think the issue pertaining to the purpose, I think we have just deliberated from our side how we view it as the department, where we are saying in this particular arrangement, we are doing those things. We have, however, indicated that notwithstanding what we think, we are actually accept any other proposed wording that may be produced, because at the end we are of the view that the actual contents of the amendment that are section 2 and section 3 will not necessarily be affected in at a practical operational level or at the administration of the act at our level. Therefore we remain open for suggestions and so on as to how the people should agree with that. In the insertion of these sections of clause that we are saying, as well as the repeal of the old section 2 and 3. The issue of the renewal of licenses, honorable members, we have specifically taken it out now in the process, and instead decided to leave with the issue of a license valid for 12 months. Our approach in this regard, and after a lot of dialogue also with our stakeholders, is that you will have a license that is valid from 1 January to 31st December, for example. Once that period lapses, that license doesn't exist. In other words, you don't have a license. So we are then already included in the regulations that you may, prior to the expiry of the existing license, approach the licensing officer and apply for a new license that will be valid from the following year and so on. The reason why we removed the renewal in particular was that during the discussions, it became very clear that, first of all, there is an expectation that just because I applied first time for the license and my facility was inspected and all that it was done that is complying. Now, all I need to do a year later is to just go and have that license renewed. I actually expect that it must be renewed first. And number two, not expect that the same data work that has been done in inspecting and doing the initial approval, you must be done. Thirdly, people who then have the expectation of the renewal of the license, there was also a feeling that then they don't approach the licensing officer in advance and then continue with the license that they have. Who's just saying that it has just not been renewed yet, but I think that's even beyond the validity. So we decided every year you will be applying for a license. That license will only be valid for that period. Then you go and apply again, and you go and apply, and then you are subjected to all those procedures instead of using the terminology of the renewal, which already creates an expectation that it will be a must and so on. So that's how we eventually ran away from that. Honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last thing on the, I think we have tried to define the purpose. Honorable thing, page 16 of the presentation. But what the question that we have is that, because we're talking about dogs, because they've got to. And there is one of the things that the stakeholders have raised was that there are other animals that are used for the same purposes. So how do you define them? So if you can be clarified.
Thank you, honorable members. I think on the 14th of April we were also caught up in this. On one aspect you have the old original act as it was written for safeguarding, referring to the dogs for safeguarding. And again on section 9 you have got these exemptions that also exempt certain dogs, for example, that belongs to the military, that belongs to the police, that belong to the citizens, that are also doing the same work. Unfortunately, we haven't managed to crack any creative way of getting away with these two sections, one being applicable and then the one now at the end specifically excluding certain groups of animals. These are some of the challenges that we are hoping that going forward, and our stakeholders have actually maintained it even in our presentations and interactions, that an animal welfare matter is an animal welfare matter, whether that dog is belonging to the police or it belongs elsewhere and so on, and they mustn't be excluded in this regard. Our position is that in principle we really agree that in future we will look at that, but for now, because these animals were already exempted, and that exemption of Section 9 didn't amount to the areas affected by the Constitutional Court. So defining the general animals that are excluded for safeguarding, but excluding those other ones that are doing the safeguarding work elsewhere, it becomes a challenge for all of us. But these are the things that we think that when we have got more time to go through the entire act,
these are the things that we will rectify in the future. Thank you.
Our team suggests that we should actually remove dogs and put animals use for safeguards. Then it will cover both the horses and all other animals that are subject to safeguarding. I'm not sure you can look at it and remove dogs and put animals used for safeguarding in that long title.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think that is a very good suggestion that we can be very, very happy with. Thank you.
Honorable Member, any other things? Can we release the department?
No. Okay. No. From interesting, I was just trying to establish that the fact around the local government as an authority previously was that also referring to it's on a, you don't at the later stage challenge around the old order that was not repealed. That's the condition that we have.
Thank you, Honorable Members. The issue at hand was not really entered into discussion in terms of our way. We specifically concentrated our thinking and our work towards the Section 2 and Section 3. We were specifically cited in that Constitutional Court judgment. So anything that is outside that, that was not specifically affected by the Constitutional Court judgment, we didn't go to at this point. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think just to clarify how that point came about, it basically it was on the basis for the schedules and how we are instructed to take. So the issue of Sierra authority came around that point. Otherwise, in terms of legislation and how the old order was and the constitutional order is currently demanding, it's really as the member explains, but the point, as I said, was now when we are having to decide which sphere deals with or regulates on which matter, so that the issue on the schedules, because all the matters that are in Schedule 5, Schedule 5 Part A, matters exclusively for provinces, and Schedule 5 Part B are matters exclusively for local government, unless, of course, we are doing legislation at National Parliament in terms of Section 44.2. I think that that issue came about only with regards to that specific issue and not necessarily in broader terms as to the fears as we have them. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I feel that there is no any other hands. Thank you, Department, for coming. You are now released. Members can have 5 minutes.
Can I get a few minutes?